Good morning. The Arizal once hired workers, and at the end of the day, it was just before Shia, and he realized he didn't have enough money to pay his pilum. Shkia, as we know, is both the deadline for Baal Talin. It's also the deadline for Davening Mincha. And it's brought down the Arizal went around trying to borrow money and put together the funds in order to pay a worker. Now, as you saw last week, there's no chiyuv to borrow money to pay a worker. It's itzcha. If you don't have the funds, you're not over. It's certainly a midas chasidus, but a chiyuv it's not. And therefore, it needs a bit of an explanation. If Maker Hadin, he's potter, why would you delay mincha and not daven bismanui in order to borrow money to pay a worker? I think perhaps the reason is the pasuk tells us ki elav hu noiseis nafshei. A worker needs to be paid on time because he relies on the baal avos. He relies on his employer for the funds that he needs to support himself, to support his family. And ki elav hu noiseis nafshei. When a person davens, he stands in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he davens in tefillah after tefillah for his parnasa, for his health, for thing after thing that he needs for himself and for his family. Perhaps the Arizal held that to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for support and to ask for all these bakashas, when he was letting down the workers that relied on him for his support and turned to him, ki elav l'noiseis nafshei, was a stirim minei uvei. And therefore, while in the technicalities it's midas chasidus, technically there's no obligation to go borrow money, but he held that to daven and to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for things, especially that we may not deserve, we first need to put our own house in order, and we first need to make sure the people that are relying on us and that we owe are properly cared for. Now we're going to begin the sugya today of Mchewe Yitzel Shulchani. The Gemara says that if a Baal Bayis sends the worker to either a banker or to a storekeeper who agrees to pay the worker, then there's no chiyuv of Baal Talin. Now this leads us to a discussion which has come up a number of times in the past few weeks. What is the halacha of a check? Can you pay a worker with a check, and how does that impact Baal Talin? Now the question is that a pilot comes, he does some work for you, and he finishes his job on Monday, you hand him a check. The next day, on Tuesday, he goes and he deposits the check in his account. On Wednesday, the check clears. So the question is, when did this worker get paid? So to understand that, we have to really look at what is a check. How does halacha view a check? Now this is a question which there are, as you can imagine, dozens of different opinions, and it's really relevant to almost every area of halacha, from ribbis to Baal Talin to Mochzakus, and it comes up in many, many different forms. There are basically three opinions how to look at a check. One way is to treat it as a shtar chov. It's an IOU note. If I write a check to someone, a check for $500, there's basically a document saying that I owe him $500. A shtar chov. Now, if that's the case, as far as Baal Talin, if a worker completes a job, and he finishes the job, he comes, he'd like to get paid, I call him into my office and say, I'm very makbid to pay my workers on time, here's an IOU note, I'll pay you in a month. Is that biyam etit in tzchare? Of course not. He doesn't need your IOU note. You owe him the money because he did the job. He needs cash. He needs to be paid. So if we're looking at a check as nothing more than a shtar chayv, then an IOU note, clearly you would not be mekayim biyam etit in tzchare, and you'd be over Baal Talin. Now again, if the worker accepts it, or if the minhag is that people pay their workers with a check, a minhag's a minhag. And if the worker agrees and accepted the job on these terms, that you can pay me with an IOU note and I'll collect it in a couple of days, I won't be over any isser, there's no Baal Talin, On the other hand, I won't be mekayim biyomitit in schari either. But that'll only be if there's a minhag. In the absence of any minhag, if you take a taxi, and at the end of the ride you try to pull out a check, clearly there's no minhag to pay a taxi with a check. So he'd have the right to say, I want cash, I don't want an IOU note, and Baal Talon would clearly apply with his understanding. Other shittas hold that it's even less than a shtar chayv. If you ever look, read a check, what does it say? Does it say, I owe you money? No. A check is essentially a directive. It says, pay to the order of blank, of the worker, an amount of money. Essentially, it's instructions to your bank. You have an account. Hopefully there's a balance. You're telling the bank that when someone presents this piece of paper with my signature, take money from my account and give it to him. So, perhaps it's not even a shtar choyv. It's not a shtar, it's not a document which created a debt, or is even really a direct proof of a debt. It's nothing more than instructions to your bank to pay the worker. Now, if that's the case, is the worker paid when you hand him a check? Absolutely not. He now has the key, he has the instructions that when he goes to your bank, he'll get paid. But he hasn't been paid yet. And if that's the case, again, you're not making mitzvah biyomitit in schari. Excellent. Now, although he wasn't paid, and you weren't making the mitzvah biyomitit in schari, this is the equivalent of him chayu etzel chemdeni. You're basically appointing the bank that when this worker comes and asks you for money and presents this check, give it to him. So this is the sugi that we learned today, him chayu etzel shulchani, and therefore, although perhaps he hasn't been paid, and although perhaps there will be no mitzvah yomitit in schari, the Gemara says very clearly, you're not over the isser of Baal Talin. Now, however, things are not that simple, because in case of Mechel Yitzel Shulchan, it's a Malchoykes. What's the case? What did the worker have to say about this? Does the worker have to agree? Does he have to accept to go after the Shulchan? Or can this be done against his will? So the Beis Yosef brings down, and it's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva and Rav Pan as well, that you don't need the worker's agreement. As long as you give, there's someone else that takes responsibility to pay the worker, although the worker is not happy with it, since he has a way of getting the money, there's someone who has the money, is ready to pay, there would not be Baal Talin. And if you go according to the Shitas, then even if the minhag, if there's no minhag to pay by check, still you would have the right to force him to accept the check. There will be no Isser Baal Talin. Others argue, and Chabad Chaim and Abbas Chesed is machmir, and says that this applies only when the poyel agrees. If he agrees to go after a third party, then even though later he changes his mind, there's no Baal Talin. But to force him to go to a third party, you can do. So it will depend on this machlokes achronim. Correct, correct. According to everyone, this applies only when it's a local check, and the bank is open. If you're going to give him the check after hours, or if it's an out-of-state bank where he can't get access to the cash today, then clearly there's no Himcheu Eitzel Shulchani. Himcheu Eitzel Shulchani means the Shulchani is here, and he has the funds ready to pay today. If the Shulchani is not going to pay for another month, then clearly there'll be Baal Talin.
Next time the check is, it can't be tendered by a check cashing place, or it can be given to a grocery store. In our circles, it's very common.
Okay, so that leads to the third shita. And the third shita is, there are many places in Eretz Yisrael that say a check itself is like cash. It has value, it's something which is flipped around, it's passed from place to place, and therefore, although it's not legal tender, it's not real currency, it has the din of either kesef, or in the very least, shava kesef, in which case, you can be mekayim mitzvah biyomitit in schari. Now, although there are a number of shitas that say that, it's very difficult to use that psak in America. This psak basically comes from Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, checks are treated differently. Israeli law is based on British law, and there it's much more. They treat checks very much more chomer. You cannot cancel a check under normal circumstances, And the practical, the metzius is your checks are fly around, you know, people, checks can go around for months before anyone actually deposits them. It's much closer to a currency than it is here. Although here, your local grocery that knows you, that has a relationship with you, may accept a third-party check. You can't buy gas with it. You're not going to be able to use it at a store where you don't have a relationship with a person. And in America, I think the person would generally not consider it cash. But in Acham, if you are in Eretz Yisrael, there are many places that say that it's the equivalent of cash, and you'd be Mekayim B'yomei Titin Tzchari. Correct. If there's no way to get the money, then it would not be Himcheh Eretzel Shulchani. If the worker accepts it, that's fine. If he refuses, then the B'yomei Titin Tzchari would apply. Now again, if the minhag was you're dealing with an industry where contractors accept credit cards, then unless he specified otherwise, he'd be bound to that minhag. He would have to accept it. Probably not, because he's not getting anything for another day or two. Paper money today, the bottom line is it's money. And therefore, the Chazon Ish points out, although money used to be gold coins, silver coins that had intrinsic value, today money is accepted, universally accepted, even though it's paper, at least for now. We'll see what the future holds.
So what
should
Troy
do to pay with cash? Yes. Paying cash, you're a mitzvah. You're giving a check, and especially where, and unless you're Eretz Yisrael, even though there's no Isser, I'll be pashtus, you wouldn't be Mekayim the mitzvah. I actually know someone who, whenever he went to the doctor, when you go to a doctor, what do? You have insurance that pays. Now, insurance that pays is Himcheh Eretzel Shulchani. The insurance will pay, probably not for another couple of months. So this person was makdid that whenever he went to the doctor, he would take cash out of his pocket, he would pay in full. When the doctor received payment from the insurance, they would then refund the difference. Now, it's a beautiful chumrah, but apparently the HMOs were very concerned that Klal Yisrael didn't have enough schosim, so they created a new thing called a copay. Now when there's a copay, what happens? It means whenever you go to the doctor, you have to pay, and you have to pay cash usually. Now it's true you're not paying the full amount, but l'chayr, as far as Baal Tanya is concerned, there's no difference. Because if someone does a job, you owe them $500, and you only pay them $400, you're over Baal Tanya on the extra $100. But if someone does a job and they tell you, 90% of the fee, don't worry about, we're going to speak to the insurance, we'll get it in 3 weeks, we're moichel. We don't need to be paid today. 10% we want up front, we want today. If you take out the cash and you pay that amount, Mekayim B'yomei Titin Tzchari. So as long as you have a copay and you're paying at least something, even if you want to get this chumrah, you're Mekayim the mitzvah. And so there's no reason to pay it all up front. Even any amount would be enough to get the mitzvah.
On every suffering, you could split the postponement of some of it.
Again, if he wants to be paid today, so then the Chafetz Chaim spoke out. If you withhold $1 against his will, there's Baal Talon on that dollar. But if he says, on the chelik of it, it's not due today. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go to the insurance. I'll get it in a month. But 10% is due and I want it now. Then whatever he's demanding, this mitzvah B'yomei Titin Tzchari.
So it's just as work for you. You owe $500. If he's okay with waiting that 30, we want to become B'yomei Titin Tzchari, $50.
If you pay something, or whatever you pay, you'll be Mekayim B'yomei Titin Tzchari. Now again, if you force him to wait for the rest of it against his will, there's an issur. But correct, if you want to be mahadar and chaparai in the mitzvah, even when he's willing to wait, this is an eitzah that you can do. Correct.
This guy who paid the doctor, there really was no hinder at all, but the mere fact that he contracted with the HMO, with the insurance company, he in effect is making this a condition why did he sign up with the insurance company? Because he wants patients. So he's basically saying, I want patients, and therefore I'm making tonight, I am accepting insurance. If that's the case, then if it wouldn't be a copay, there would be no hinder.
Okay, you're assuming that when you go to a doctor and you have insurance, you have no debt to the doctor. Typically, that's not the case. You have the primary responsibility. You owe the money to the doctor. The doctor agrees to bill your insurance. If the insurance doesn't pay for any reason, you're on the hook. So you owe the money. He agrees to bill the insurance first. But since it is your debt, if you pay him, and you tell him bill insurance second, you're clearly Mekayem Mitzvah Yom Titin Tzachara. That's true, but if you ever read the paperwork, if the insurance doesn't cover for whatever the reason is, that's your problem, not the doctor's.
That's in 3 weeks. When he finds out that they're not covered, he's masking
right now. No, so what's usually happening is that you have primary responsibility. They're agreeing to go after the insurance first. It doesn't mean you don't owe the money. It means that they're going to the insurance to collect that debt first. That's true. You're not over Baal Tolin. As long as he agrees to wait, that's fine. But you haven't paid on time either. And if you do pull out the money, it's not like you're giving him a present. You're paying for the service that he rendered. Okay, let's hold off until 11:15. I'll stay for question and answers at 11, but we do have some ground to cover. This is the last week of Mirtz Hashem and Baal Tolin. Now, again, just to bring up a possibility, there is an interesting cheshbon with checks like this. Even if you're going to say that a check isn't cash, which again, in America, it's very difficult to say, it's really like a currency. You could take a position that a check has value. You can sell it. Its value is not 100% of the face value, but you can probably go to a check cashing place or to someone else and sell it for 98 cents on the dollar. If that's true, if it hasn't been a shava kesef, then if the worker agrees to accept it, just like if the worker agrees to accept payment in shava kesef, I don't need cash, give me something else of value, you'll be mekayem the yom titin tzachara, because he accepted it as payment. So if a check has some value, because it could be sold, and the worker agrees to accept it, then he's agreed to accept a shava kesef, and you could argue that you're mekayem the mitzvah of the yom titin tzachara. And what comes out is a very interesting question, because like this. If the worker agrees to accept it, he says, I'll take the check. So then, perhaps it's Shavu Kesef, perhaps it's Mekayim the Mitzvah. What happens if he doesn't want to accept the check? So we said before that according to Beis Yosef, you can force him to accept it. Why? Because it's Himcheu Eitzel Shulchani. Himcheu Eitzel Shulchani, the longness is not that it's Shavu Kesef. Himcheu Eitzel Shulchani works because there's a third party that's willing to pay him that money. If that's the lamdos, that there's a third party willing to pay, there, while there's no iser, you're clearly not makayin the mitzvah until that third party actually pays. So if you're going to force the worker to accept a bal karchoi, and you're going to rely on the fact that it's in chewei tzol shulchani, while you won't be an iser bal talin, there won't be a mitzvah either of biyom mititin tzara. It's only when he accepts it as a shavu kesef, then, if, again, on the tzadet shavu kesef, he's been paid, he's received something of value, and then perhaps you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yom Titin Tzachara. Now let's wait until 11:15. Let's wait until 11:15. The next and last final halacha of the sugya is the sugya of kavonos, and that is that the basic halacha of Baal Tolin is you hire a worker, he finishes the job, the money is due, the Yom Titin Tzachara. However, if you hire a worker, you bring a suit to the cleaners, and he works the kablonos, there the halacha is a bit different. And there the halacha is, Baal Tolin does not apply until you pick up the suit, until you receive the item back. Which means, if you drop off the suit at the cleaners, and they tell you it'll be ready on Tuesday, so come Tuesday, you have no chiyuv to go run to the cleaners to pick it up and to pay him on time. Whenever you pick it up, that's when the mitzvah of Yom Titin Tzachara applies. Pay him that day. But there's no chiv to run there and pick it up the moment that it's ready. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Siman Reish Mem Beis that if it's Erev Shabbos and a person realizes he doesn't have enough money for any Shabbos to buy food, the food that he needs for Shabbos, and to pay his workers. So if it's a question of Baal Tolin against Oinik Shabbos, Baal Tolin comes first. Baal Tolin is a deraisa. However, if it's a question of a kablon, you have a suit, someone did work with kablonos, and he's finished the job and he wants to get paid, Chavetz Chaim says a very simple answer. Refuse delivery. Tell the person you don't want the item, Even if he's ready to return, he comes to your house, he wants to deliver the item, say, I'm not taking it. And as long as you don't take the item, the Chafetz Chaim writes, you won't be over in Isser Bal Tollin. The Rosh Hashulchan argues, the Rosh Hashulchan says, that once the person once the job is completed, and the worker is prepared to deliver it, he says, Bal Tollin will apply. He says, Bal Tollin is ki'il v'noises nafshay, when it's done, he's ready to deliver, the Isser will apply. But clearly, until he's ready to deliver it, until he's ready to return it to you, there's no Bal Tollin, and there's no Biyom Yititin Schara. Now the Gemara says that Kablonis depends on the Sugya of Uman Kaina Shvach Kli. Now, the Sugya of Uman Kaina Shvach Kli is bigger than Siman Rishin Vav, but just to give a basic outline of what it means, this basic question is follows. You have material, and you want to hire someone to make a suit for you. So you bring the material, it's worth $200 to the tailor. You make up that you're going to pay him $200 and he's going to make you a custom suit. The value of this suit is going to be $500. So the material is $200, the labor is $200, the final product is worth $500. Now what happens if the tailor takes this suit, this material, he makes it into a beautiful suit, and then he goes postal. He goes ahead, he destroys the suit. He's a mazik. He just destroyed your brand new suit. So he comes over to you and says, listen, I owe you an apology. I destroyed the material you gave me. Here's $200 for the value of the material that you gave me. You turn to him and say, not so fast. I gave you material worth $200. But you took this material and you made a beautiful suit out of it. This suit was worth $500. Now, it's true I owe you for your labor. I owe you $200 for your labor. But if you destroyed this suit, pay me $300. Pay me the full value of the suit, minus the labor that I owe you. So who's right? How much do you have to pay? How much does the tailor have to pay you? So this depends on whether Uman Kayin Shvach Kli. If you learn Ein Uman Kayin Shvach Kli, then we look at it as if you had $200 worth of material. Your material now became a suit. It's worth $500. If someone destroys it, you're entitled to $500. And therefore the tailor will have to pay you the full value of the suit minus the labor that you owe him. On the other hand, if you hold Uman Kayin Shvach Kli, what that means is when the tailor takes this material and makes a suit, he's basically becoming a partner. Your material was worth $200. His labor created $300 of value. And therefore, this suit that's sitting by him, you have the rights to $200 of it. He owns the improvement that he created. And therefore, if he damages it, he only has to reimburse you for the original cost of the material. Now, our Gemara says that Bal Tollin will depend on the same question. If you hold Uman Kayin Shvach Kli, if the material is yours but the improvement is his, then, when he delivers the goods, he is essentially selling you the improvement. If it's a sale, if it's nekach u'memkar, there's no Bal Tollin. Ma'ashen ken, if you hold einu uman kayin shvach kli, if you learn that the material is mine, the improvement is mine, he is nothing more than a laborer who's getting paid to do work, then I have to pay him for his work, it's schirus, and Bal Tollin certainly would apply in such a case. La'halacha, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that we hold Einu Munkayin Shvach Kli, and the Bal Tollin applies to Kablanos as it applies to Sfiris. The Shachot in Siman Shin Vav says it's a sacred Adina, but the bottom line halacha will be is you certainly have to be Chayish Shulchumra and you have to be Mach. In theory, we'd be telling the same Umun Kayin Shvach Kli or not. Now again, in Bal Tollin we're machmir, and other in Yonim it could be to Sekhid Adina. Now there is an interesting case, interesting exception, and that is the case that we just gave of a Kablan is where you provide the material, he provides the labor. What happens if you order a custom suit? You walk into the store and you pick out the material, which he supplies. Zavtuk Tzayis v'shem Na'aras Ason. In this case, everyone agrees there's no Bal Tollin. Because since the laborer, the worker, is supplying all the raw material. You're not hiring him. You're basically telling him that go make me a suit, I'll buy it from you afterwards. So the whole question is not going to work with the default. Possible. Okay, just like to end, we spent the past 5 weeks going through Hilchos Baal Talin. And we've gone through many of the parameters and the details of when the mitzvah does apply and when the mitzvah doesn't apply. Now I think I've gotten to know many of the people in the room, and I don't believe that 5 weeks ago these were the people who would stiff a worker and people who would not pay a worker on time. I think everyone here, fair people, people who make a point of paying their chayvus, and wouldn't imagine they would ever run into any shaila in halacha or any isur d'oraisa. What we've learned over the past 5 weeks is, I think, 2 points. The first is that although a person is fair, although a person tries to do what's right, halacha has very specific details. What it means to be paid on time, before shkia, halacha subtanim. And as much as a person feels that he's going to try to be fair, without knowing the prate halachas, it's almost impossible not to be nichshol from time to time. But there's another point. Even if a person would go through his entire life, and it would happen to come out that because he tries to do what's right, he ends up paying every worker on time, and he's never over Yisus Dereis of Valtalin, he's still missing out a tremendous amount. Baltalin is not just an Isser, it's not just a Lois Aseh. There's a mitzvah of the Yom Etitin Tzara. There's a mitzvah of Aseh. Every time you pay a worker, Chavetz Chaim points out, you're not just paying a worker, you're being Mekayim a mitzvah. And it should be done with the same simcha of a mitzvah of when you're shaking a lulav and eser. We know mitzvah tzrichus kavana. If a person wants to be Mekayim a mitzvah Aseh, he has to have kavana, he has to realize that he's doing a mitzvah. Now, unfortunately, many of us do not have such kavana. But there are certain kulis. There's a chayyadim that says that if ma'isav mechiyach alav, if a person goes to shul and puts on tefillin, where it's obvious the only pshat in this is he's trying to do a mitzvah, perhaps that's enough and you're mekayim the mitzvah. But that applies only when there's ma'isav mechiyach alav. When what you're doing proves or demonstrates that you must be trying to do a mitzvah. Paying a worker, this won't apply. Because everyone has to pay a worker. The money is due, it has to be paid eventually. So unless a person is aware there's a mitzvah Yom Etitin Tzara and has kavana at the time that he pays, he's lost out an opportunity to mekayem a mitzvah saseh. And think about it. You could have 2 people, both Erlich Yidden, who went through their entire life making sure that everyone who they owe money got paid bizmanai. One of them will get schar for being erlich and get schar for being honest. The other one, Achanei Ve'esrim, will end up with thousands upon thousands of mitzvahs that say d'oraisa of Yom Titzin Schara. What's the difference between the two? Difference is a couple hours on a Sunday morning, a little simas lev, a little yediyos, and a little kavana when you're going ahead and doing the mitzvah. You end up, it costs the same amount anyway, you're paying the worker, you may as well chaperayim. The Pelayayis writes that if a person can afford to, he should go ahead and hire workers just to be able to do the kind mitzvah of Yom Etitin Tzara. There's a famous Chassidish Maisel that the Chassid went to the Rebbe and he sees that the Rebbe makes a bracha and took a bite out of an apple. So the Chassid's sitting there looking at him, you know, I do the same thing. What's the difference between me and the Rebbe? We both make brachas, we both eat apples. So the Rebbe's response was that no, you make a bracha to eat an apple. I eat an apple in order to make a bracha. At the end of the day, everyone made brachas, and at the end of the day, their appetite is satisfied. But the difference is the simas lev, a person's attitude and a person's awareness, and that makes all the difference between the chassid and the rebbe. Okay, thank you. At this point, well, I'll save for questions. Right. Correct. The HMO. It's a correct. Erech Amin.
Correct.
Why isn't there a brother? Why isn't there a brother?
Good question. Okay, so Mashkin, I didn't quite get to today. From this sugyo, the Shulchan Aruch Rav proves that if you give a Mashkin, there's no issur b'al tovah. Because he understands the reason why a Kavlan, there's no issur until you deliver it, is because you have a Mashkin. Now, the Tzoyis has a very strong kasha on this. He says, we know with b'al tovah, if you miss the zman of b'al tovah, if you don't pay the first day, because he's moichel, whatever the reason is, b'al tovah doesn't apply to the future. So if the pshat was that as soon as the kavlan finishes the work, you owe it to him right away, but because he has a mashkin, you're not over, then if the tzeis, you should never be over. And because of this, the tzeis is a whole different pshat in kavlan. The tzeis learned the reason why a kavlan is not over is not because he has a mashkin. He says because the money is not due until you deliver it. When you have a poil, you have a hire to paint the house. As soon as he finished the job, he finished the day, the money is due. That tzeis applies. When you hire a kavlan, you give him material, he has no claim against you until he returns the material. And that's why b'al tovah will always begin when the job is finished, which means when he actually returns it.
So in that case, because of that, he shouldn't have to pay any extra money, even if the suits were $500, right?
Right.
So he shouldn't, if for my sake, he didn't give me back the suit.
Correct.
So while it's still in his possession, until I'm claiming the actual suit, it's just material.
There are two separate questions. The Ktzais is talking about when the job is done, when the money is due. And his point is, the money is due only when you get the item back. If you drop off a suit by the tailor, and he knocks on your door once and says, I'd like to get paid. You say, fine, great, give me the suit. I'm sorry, it's in the office. You tell him, nothing doing. When you're ready for the suit, that's when I'll pay you. That's the Ktzais' point. That is, Uman Kanya Shvachli is a separate issue, and that is, forget about when the money is due. What's the arrangement? Why am I paying him? Am I paying him because he's a laborer? I agreed to pay him $200 for the labor, and that's what I own. If that's the case, he's just nothing more than a laborer, then he labored on my material, and he improved my material, and it's my material that now is in the form of a suit that's worth more.
But he didn't deliver it.
He doesn't have to deliver it.
If I go and hire a guy to do a job for me, mm-hmm. and he comes to me at the end of the day and he says, I worked for 8 hours, I want to get paid. Second of the day, show me what you did. And he didn't do anything.
Okay.
So then I'm not going to pay him.
Over here, what happened is he can prove what he did. The material that belonged to me is now in the form of a $500 suit. It may be sitting by him, but I now own a $500 suit. If an outsider would come and would damage it, who would he pay? He'd pay me, because it belongs to me. Now, if an outsider would have to pay...
Wouldn't he have to deliver the suit to me first?
So again, in this case, I'm giving you the material, you improve it, someone else destroys it. Who does he pay, you or me?
That's his possession, it's in.
So again, you only need a kinyan when there's something new. Over here, it's the same material. The material belonged to me. Nothing took away that material. Now again, this svara goes into the issue of Kanya Shvachli, but...
Okay. In my thing, actually, if somebody came and vandalized cars on the mechanics lot,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, I think the way it works is that the owner of the car can go and collect from the mechanic, but the one who damaged the cars in the lot will have to pay the mechanic.
Okay, the mechanic is going to, I don't know about American law, but in halacha, a mechanic will be a shomer. And he'll probably be a shomer sefer because he's an uman, that's a halacha in Simin Shin Vav. Let's assume the shomer's gone. The mechanic is off, he's in Eretz Yisrael. And you find the crook. Clearly you would have a claim against him as well. He damaged your car. And you have a claim against him. Now whether uman kanya shvachli or not may make a difference whether you can claim the full amount or whether you can only claim the original value and the mechanic would have a claim on the rest. Although again, it's not so simple. Uman kanya shvachli is not as simple as I'm making it out to be.
On the check issue, a few weeks ago I think you said that if you make up the paperwork every 2 weeks, let's say every
right.
Friday you pay the worker X number of dollars. Now, if you made up every second week, in that case you would get the mitzvah of the Amitidin Sfarim.
Right, that's because each 2 week period is going to be the end of a job. The job is over, tomorrow you start again.
Every 2 weeks I'm going to give him a check.
Okay.
So that means that the Rav Mach is that he's going to come on Monday or Tuesday, so it's Ke'ilu we made up
Okay, wait a second. Okay, fine. But there are two similar cases where the halacha is very different. If I make up with a worker, I'm going to pay him the end of every other week. And I pay him on Friday.
I'm going to give you a check.
Wait, cash. I'm going to pay you every other week on Friday. And every other week I pay him cash on the kind of mitzvah. Let's say I make up with him. I'm going to pay you bi-weekly. Friday you give him your timesheets. And I'm going to give you the money on Monday. There you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because when we make up, every 2 weeks is a different pay period. That's when the job was over. And we're making up, I'm not going to pay you until a few days later. I wasn't over in Yisr, because those are the terms. But I didn't pay you bizmano.
I'm going to give you a check on Friday.
So giving you a check on Friday, if it's nothing more than a shtar chayv, is the same thing as giving cash on Monday.
Right.
So you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah.
I'm basically agreeing that I'm going to give it's the equivalent of me agreeing to give you cash on Monday.
But that's the point. You're not Mekayim the Mitzvah then. If I hire someone and he's in for 2 week periods, and every other Friday your job is done, you're going to give him your timesheets, and I'm not going to pay you until Monday. I'm not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because I didn't pay him beyond my titi and tzchari. I didn't pay him the last day of the job. So there's no Isser, but there's no Mitzvah. No, that's when you quit a job, that is the sudif. No, again, yeah. If I make up, I can make up whatever I want. I can make up, do the job today, I'm going to pay you in a month. That'll work, and there's no isser. But I was not Mekayim the Yom Titin Tzchari because I did not pay the day the job was done. So if I make up, every 2 weeks is a separate job, but I'm not going to pay you until Monday, there's no isser, but there's no mitzvah. If a check is nothing more than a way to get the money in 3 days, then that's the equivalent of paying cash on Monday.
There's no time shift. You basically say every whatever. I mean, if I tell you every Friday I'm going to give you a check, that's the equivalent of me saying every Monday I'm going to give you cash.
You're not.
In which case, that's what I'm doing. I'm basically giving.
No, but the difference is on Monday if you're paying me through Monday, that's fine, because then Monday is the end of the job, and Monday you're getting paid. But if the check that clears on Monday is payment for a job that finished on Friday, then there's no Biyomi Titin Tzchari.
So maybe you could say that the job finishes at 9:05 on Monday morning.
You can do that. If you extend the job that I'm going to pay you, I'm giving you the check on Friday, and this is payment for the past 2 weeks, plus another 5 minutes, whatever, a couple of minutes of work that'll be on Monday, that's fine. If you want to go ahead and do that, go right ahead. But the default, you would not be Mekayim the Yom Titin Tzchari. Again, unless you learn a check is Shavu Kesef. Then
you're hiring someone who is paying bi-weekly. Says a job ends, let's say, on Friday. I don't know if I can use that premise. It's an agreement to pay every 2 weeks.
Okay, so that's the point. When are you paying? It's an agreement to pay every 2 weeks. Which period are you paying for? Normally, if when you get the check on Friday, it's for the work that you did through Friday. Not Monday. If you want to pay him on Friday in advance for the money that he's going to get on Monday, and it'll clear on Monday, you're right. Then you'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah. You have the other Svar. They don't get paid on time. There is, in the case of a Yoyrid, there's no Baltala, and a Tzchar Baltala, I'm not so sure there is either. But a Yoyrid, if someone does draw without a contract, you do have to pay him, but Baltala will not apply. Tzchar Baltala, I'm not sure, but I would doubt that it's Biyom Titin Tzchar.
What about a Yeshiva, like on a specific day that you want, and they say, okay, I'll consider that, like you pay me, is that considered Mekayim the Mitzvah?
Well, he was Kabalti.
Yeah, he said, okay, I'm taking it. I'm taking that
fine.
I agree that that's...
The Shar Mishpat brings down from the Zohar that even if the poyel doesn't want to get paid, he says you should, the employer should hand him the money and then take it back. So it sounds like you're not Mekayim Eker HaDin with a Kilu Hiskabalti, because that would be an easier Eitzah. It's hard to make the Yukum on these things, but...
Give him that money. Give him the credit through credit card. Say,
okay, credit card, you don't get it right away. It's hemcheva to shulchan, but you can't get it by beyoy.
Two questions. One, if someone is getting paid by check, the minute is get paid by check, right?
Right.
So the chayre, and according to what we're saying in America, check is basically like a shtar or an IRA, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out that the maestro, all the employees in the United States, are similar to the case of the shuk in the Gemara, where
right.
So the fire, the whole thing is not in the game.
Correct. In such settings where the mineral gets paid by check, where they don't get paid right away, then there'll be no ISR. Correct.
No,
if you do pay, that you don't see. If you do pay.
No, I'm saying you get paid every Friday, that's the payment.
If it's by check, according to these sheets, yeah. It happens to be usually. It'll be totally in this shiloh about what a check, whether it's Shabbat Kesef or not. Correct.
So basically what we're saying is that the factuality is come out everywhere in the United States today and it's clear in check.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes out that there's vendors. I mean, so maybe the government is horror, especially if you pay by cash, but if not.
Again, the difference is that by a check, the person is able to deposit it and get the money that day.
So
No. According to all shitas, in Chelat Shulchani, we saw if you get the money by Bayoim, you're not over the Yosef. So it would come out that if today the norm is to give a check, which the person could cash if he wants, so there's no Yosef. And you can't, since he does have that option, you can't use this as justification not to pay to push him off for a few days. When you push him off for a few days, you're vada yoy. But in chayetz shochin, you might not have the mitzvah, you're not over the isser either. So the isser very much does apply, even in these settings.
Why?
Again, if the minhag is shukah desura, there everyone paid late. If everyone paid late, there's no more, the person's makabel not to get paid on that day, there's no baal talon at all. Over here, the minhag is to accept a check, which if you want to, you can get the money by bayoy. That means there's no minhag to be oiker the due date and to change baal talon. It happens to be, the norm is not to be makai in the mitzvah.
If you all like the sheikhs that hold, that like you said, there's either star or IOU or even less than IOU, right? So then automatically it's becoming like a...
No, because again, it's still in chayli etzol shochei. The worker is able to go to the bank and get the money. Exactly. There's no baal talon, there's no biyoyim. Exactly. That you won't be over the isser. If he's able to get the money, that we said, if he's able to get the money at the bank that day, you clearly wouldn't be over the isser. When there's a minhag, it's not, again, when there's a minhag to accept checks, the isser is not going to get anyway because that's the minhag.
Right.
Even when there is no minhag.
What if he's late now paying the check? If all
his money is over. Because, again, since when he gets a check, he could get the money that day.
He won't get that day.
He could.
It doesn't keep clear in your account. Just there.
In your account, you can go to his bank. Assuming it's a local bank.
The bank usually. If you just go to someone else's bank, you can't just.
Okay. So
we're saying there's no baal talon.
What?
A lot of them claim there's no baal talon.
Correct. As long as you can get the money that day.
If you offer to cash the check for him, then he doesn't take you up on it.
There's certainly no baal talon. Whether you makai, whether makai mitzvah biyomi tidin tzchari, probably not, unless it's shavah kesef.
Is the baal talon saying there's no smichas das and therefore?
No. Smichas das was itchel. It was a different drasha.
What about with the doctor who's doing something over a period of time? Let's say an orthodontist or something. Is it called ACU yourself out of the soap and therefore every time?
It depends what you negotiate. In theory, if you're hiring him to do a whole process, then you wouldn't owe until it's done. Normally, there's some sort of upmach beforehand, so whatever the upmach is. Again, you're saying in a case where the norm is to accept it. Yeah, there's. That's the agent.
That's $200, and you're giving him $1 with the check.
Correct. If he's fine with that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Say today you're becoming more and more kind, and you go to a store, you go to Walmart, and you give him a check, and you slide it through a thing instantly.
Correct.
Can that, the fact that a merchant or a kabbalan can do that, but he let's just even upgrade his machinery. Does that make a difference? And I say, wait, if you just swipe it, and in a second you're gonna have your money.
Again, the fact that a person set up who has this service can swipe it, I don't think will help your worker. He doesn't have this service.
So it's my problem that he doesn't have it.
It's not your problem, but it's if you want to say that this you've given him the opportunity to get cash, he physically can't get that cash.
I have to make sure that he has the opportunity.
You're talking about the licensing
of the
SA.
The simple solution is just have direct deposit.
Yeah, direct deposit is fine. All right.